Perseverance is a great thing. But if I determined today that I'm going to persevere so that I can qualify for the Olympics, it might not be a wise thing. And I could work really hard and I could persevere, but given certain limitations to that involve my body, my age, my genetics, you know, should I not go that way? For some people, and how do you know? Well, I think in some cases, you know, because you have persevered over quite a long period of time, and you've pushed through, and you've sought to improve as a writer, and you've gotten editing, and you're in a critique group, and still, the response that you're getting from other people is not one of reaching them and touching them or whatever, then I think there is a point where you need to start trusting the voices of people around you. I think if you trust those voices too soon, however, that's where you get in trouble. Because the stories of great writers whose books were rejected goes on and on and on. It's just unbelievable that the people who have experienced this great rejection. But does that mean, okay, now everyone who's been rejected, just persevere long enough and you'll all get accepted? Well, no. No. But I think part of it is treating writing as you would treat any other sense of calling or direction in life. In the sense that, God, if you want me to do this, I will do it. And I want to do it, and I'm going to work hard at doing it, and then I'm going to leave the results to you, and I'm going to ask you to bring me success if this is your calling to me. But if your calling to me is for me to be able to articulate for the benefit of my family something I can leave them that mom wrote or dad wrote, that's a pretty high calling if they were the only ones to ever read it and it came from your heart. Do I wish that my mom had written something like that? If none of you ever read it and I had that from my mother, who I loved with all my heart, I mean, I can't tell you what that would mean to me. So don't think you have to be published, or you have to be published a certain way, or once you are published, then of course, see, you know, some people think, well, if I just get published, that's all that matters, okay. And then you get published, and then you go, well, I'd actually like some of these books to be sold. I thought publishing, and then when some do sell, then it's what I want more of them to be sold. And then it's like, I want to get on the list. You know, I want to get on the bestsellers list, the CBA bestsellers list. But if you do that, that's not enough because you want to be in the New York Times bestsellers list. And then that's not enough because you were only 20 and for 1 week. And you want to be up there at number 3. I mean, you want to be duking it out with the big boys. You know, and it's like, okay. And you know what? People who sell more books than anyone else in the world, if they're not content, people will never be content with that. And so this is where, for us as Christians, I spent some time recently, Nancy and I did, with Max Lucado, who's, I think it's over 80 million books now with Max. Maybe it's more than that. But, okay, so I'm speaking at his church, and Nancy and I were both struck with, he picks us from our hotel, takes us over to the church, then he picks us up the next morning, and he fixes hamburgers for us at the barbecue, and he's just, and I knew him before, but didn't know him all that well, and I thought, you would never, ever suspect that this guy has sold 80 million books. He's the same guy he was. He was a missionary in Brazil when I first met him, and you know what? I think that God hit a good grounding for him. He was a missionary who wrote a book, and then actually the second book, no wonder they call him the Savior, is the one that just took off. Okay, I think that's what we want to be. We want to be, well, it doesn't matter. We want to be faithful, and success and faithfulness are not the same thing. Some people are great financial successes and they ruin their families and they become the kind of people you don't want to be around. And I think, how can I say this carefully? One of the greatest blessings is to spend time with people who are very successful writers, speakers, pastors, you know it, you name it. That just happens to be part of the world that sometimes I spend time with these people. One of the most encouraging things is to be with people like that and say, you know what? They're the same person they were before they had a single book published or before they were a pastor or before they, you know, hopefully they're a better person than what they were. And one of the most discouraging things is to meet people who have experienced the curse of success, because success can be a curse, a great curse. And to see people whose lives have been changed for the worse as a result.